Let's turn now in the Word of God to various passages that relate to the theme for this morning, the subject this morning, which is the gold lampstand, another article we're furnishing in the tabernacle. And first of all, a portion of God's Word from Exodus 25, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40. This is the word of the living God as he speaks here to Moses, specifically addressing him to construct the lampstand. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms with their calyxes and flowers, and the calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their tray shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold, and see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. Now turn a few pages further to Exodus 27, just a few verses there, verses 20 and 21. Again, God addressing Moses, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may directly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel." So that was speaking about the oil to be used for the lampstand. And then just a few verses that we read in the New Testament. John 8, verse 12, what we just sang in the hymn, where Jesus was speaking to the people, and he spoke to them, saying, John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then finally, in Revelation chapter 1, once again, just a few verses from this chapter as well. Revelation chapter 1, where John received a vision of the Son of Man. And we read there in verses 12 to 13, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me." This is John writing. "And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest." And then in verse 20, it says, "As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, that it may indeed be explained and brought forth in its truth this morning, and that his Holy Spirit may apply its message to all of our hearts this morning. Dear congregation, this morning we are going to look at one of the most beautiful pieces of furniture in the whole tabernacle. So far in our study of this Old Testament house of worship, we have looked at the bronze altar and the bronze basin which stood in the tabernacle courtyard. And then last Sunday, we went inside the tabernacle tent itself, which consists of two main rooms, the holy place and the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And there we looked at the table of bread which stood in the holy place. And now this morning we focus our eyes on another item in that holy place, the gold lampstand, also called the gold candlestick in the King James Version, even though, as we will see pretty soon, it wasn't really a candlestick because no candles were on it. Now, as we've noted in previous weeks, the tabernacle is actually a type or a picture of Christ and a foreshadowing of the plan of salvation that God accomplished through Him. But there's also a certain order or pattern in that salvation, which is reflected in the arrangement of the tabernacle furnishings. Someone has said that the tabernacle shows us the path to glory. That path begins at the bronze altar, or the altar of burnt offering, which speaks of our justification through the sacrifice of Christ. That altar pointed us to the altar of Christ, that is the cross of Christ, and His blood shed for our sins there. And then the path to glory goes past the bronze basin, which points to our sanctification and speaks of our need for cleansing before we can enter into God's holy presence and serve Him. Daily we need to be forgiven so we can serve God in holiness. And then we enter the holy place of God's dwelling, in which stood the table of bread on one side, pointing to our sustenance. Not only our physical life is dependent on God, but our spiritual life must be sustained by Him. If we are to grow in our faith, in our love for God, we must feed daily on Christ, the living bread, and also be guided by His Word, which is the food for our souls. But then on the other side of that holy place, on the south side of this room, stood a gold lampstand. And what does that speak about? What did that symbolize? Well, that represents illumination. That is, it pictures the light by which God directs our lives. Yes, we need light on our path to glory and to heaven. For how can we know the way to God? How can we know the way of salvation? How can we know the way to heaven? How can we know the way to live a God-glorifying life? We need to have light, the light of God, on our way. We need illumination on our life path. And that illumination must come from God Himself. The Lord is my light and my salvation, as we heard this morning in our call to worship and sang as well in David expresses in Psalm 27. Or as John wrote in his first letter, again, what we read this morning from chapter 1, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And the Bible will turn or return in a moment to that important truth or idea of illumination. The illumination we need and what it all entails. Well, first of all, let's look a little closer this morning at the material lampstand itself, which stood there in the holy place of the tabernacle, and note its appearance. Its striking appearance. It was made of precious and beautiful gold itself. God told Moses in Exodus 25, verse 31, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold." And so we call it the gold, or sometimes the golden lampstand. Now we don't know its exact dimensions. Those are not given here, how large it was. But the Bible does tell us that it was made out of one talent of pure gold to fashion it. A talent in Bible times was a unit of weight, a measure of weight. It doesn't mean in Scripture what we typically mean by that word today, the word talent. We think of it as a special gift or an ability that someone may have, be it a musical talent or an athletic talent or artistic talent. But in biblical times, in ancient times, a talent was a certain weight of precious metal. And hence it was also used as a means of money. If the metal was gold, then a talent was approximately 75 pounds of gold, as a footnote in our Bibles indicates. And some estimates are that was even more than that. In any case, that's a lot of gold. And a very costly amount of it, to be sure. I checked the internet last week to see what an ounce of gold is going for or is worth today. And it said there that it goes for or is worth $1,454. That's 1 ounce of gold, which would mean that 75 pounds of gold today would be worth close to $1,745,000. So that's what the gold of the lampstand would be worth today. And let's also observe that this entire lampstand was made of one piece of gold. As you can see from the little graphic, the drawing of the lampstand on the sermon outline this morning, it must have been a rather difficult and very intricate object to make, requiring the skill of a master craftsman to shape it and fashion it in that intricate form. You know, sometimes we think that people of the past, especially of ancient times, were rather unskilled and primitive. But I can tell you, craftsmen of the past were just as skilled, if not even more skilled, perhaps, than craftsmen today. Because they had, of course, a lot, much less to work with. Everything had to be done by hand. They didn't have high-tech machines to mold and shape objects. No power tools. And so the craftsmen of Israel had to fashion this gold lampstand by hand. And the gold was not melted, or it was not poured into a mold. But we read that it had to be hammered into this intricate shape out of one piece of gold. Look at that drawing again. It had a base from which extended a central shaft. And from this shaft protruded on each side 3 branches. And on each of those branches were gold cups, which were shaped like almond blossoms. Our ESV Bible calls them almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower. I never heard of the word calyx until I was reading this again. You might look it up, you students who like botany at home, what a calyx is, but I think it's a bud. In any case, there were a total of 22 of those almond blossom-shaped cups on the lampstand. And on top of each branch, as well as on top of the central shaft, was a small lamp. And each lamp was actually a container for holding the special olive oil that was used for the burning. A wick soaked with this oil, with which this oil was soaked, was what produced the flame or the light. And so this entire lampstand with its 7 burning lamps was a most precious, costly, dazzling object indeed. But then let's ask secondly this morning, what was the function or purpose then of this lampstand? Well, on the one hand, that shouldn't be too hard to guess or to answer. It was there, of course, to give light to the holy place of the tabernacle. If a modern architect had looked over the tabernacle, he might have said, hey, they made a mistake here. They had no windows here in this tent, no windows at all. But you see, that's how God wanted it. There were to be no windows in this tent. God did not want the Israelites peering into the holy place or the holy of holies, even as they were not allowed into there. This was the place of God's presence, upon which no sinner can look uninvited. Rather, God wanted the holy place to be lighted with burning lamps on the lampstand. Without that lampstand, then, the holy place would have been totally dark. And that's also why God commanded that this lampstand be kept burning continually. God said to Moses in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 2, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. And that included throughout the night. It was the duty of the high priest to light the lamps on the lampstand each morning and evening to make sure they were kept burning at all times. And while there was a profound meaning in this, it wasn't merely to keep the holy place lighted so that the priest could carry out their various duties there, but it was also a sign of the fact that in God's presence, there is always light. God lives in light. He is light. He dwells in unapproachable light, says the Bible. 1 John 1, verse 5, which we read this morning, says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, God is light, And in Him there is no darkness at all. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, Paul writes about God, who alone is immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. Now I know the Bible also says in Psalm 97, verse 2, clouds and thick darkness are all around Him, that is, around His throne. But that's a symbolical way simply of emphasizing that sinful eyes cannot behold God's glory. Even the angels have to cover their eyes before God's presence. God is kind of like the sun, which we cannot look at directly with our natural eyes either. We must shield our eyes before the sun. And so God's glory, His holiness, is, as it were, surrounded by darkness, but God Himself is light. And therefore, in the tabernacle where God lived among His people, the lampstand always had to be burning. That holy place could never be totally dark, for God was there, and He is light. You know, where God is absent, there it is dark. That's why the Bible always describes hell as the outer darkness. Where God is totally absent, there it is always dark. That's the horror of hell. But where God is present, there is light. And those who come to live with Him in eternity will forever live in the light of His presence. Hence, there will be no night. No night in the new creation. And so the purpose of the gold lampstand was to shed light in the holy place of God's presence continually. And that leads me now to reflect thoroughly this morning, and more deeply, on the rich meaning of this gold lampstand, particularly as we're able to discern it from the perspective of God's New Testament revelation. What did this gold lampstand point to or foreshadow? And well, from the perspective of Scripture, let's note three key truths to which the lampstand in that holy place pointed. And we could summarize them like this: the gold lampstand pointed to the Son of God, it pointed to the Spirit of God, and it pointed to the saints of God. Let us know, first of all, that this lampstand points us to the Son of God, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in what way? Well, it foreshadowed Him as the true lampstand of this world, as the one who has truly come to give us light and life. Think of what John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, as he spoke there about the coming of the Word made flesh, who came to dwell among us. And John writes, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christ came to overcome the darkness, to give us the light of God's truth and salvation, and life. He's broken through the darkness of sin and death and hell. As He said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Oh, what a blessing it is that God has sent His own Son to bring light and life to the world. For otherwise, you and I would always and forever live in darkness and doom, the darkness of everlasting death. Oh, to be sure, there's still so much darkness in our world today. There's still so much unbelief and so much rejection of Christ as the true light. You students here who've taken history classes may remember that there was a period of history, roughly from the years 1500 to 1300, called the Dark Ages. A time period when knowledge, human knowledge and culture and life in general were at a very low ebb. But sometimes, you know, I feel we're still living in the Dark Ages today. Spiritually speaking, certainly, we still live in a dark world. Despite all our advanced technology, human knowledge and advances, because millions, billions still do not know and have seen the light of Christ. And while in Europe, it went from the Dark Ages to the Renaissance and to the Age of Enlightenment, so-called, today, Europe has snuffed out the gospel more and more. Only a small minority in the countries of Europe even call themselves Christians or ever attend a church, while in Africa, which used to be labeled the Dark Continent, millions of people have come to know the true light of life, Christ, and are worshiping Him today. Oh yes, Christ remains the true light of the world. And the gold lampstand also prefigured this light, this Christ, as the Lord of the world, the King of creation. Because remember, that lampstand was made out of pure gold. Gold which is the symbol of majesty, of royalty, of deity. It's what kings and queens would wear, crowns of gold. And so our Savior, the light, is also the Lord of the world, the Lord, the King of the church. When He saved us, He also claimed us. And He expects us to live under His sovereign lordship. The lampstand points us to Him as the glorious King, before whom every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Pretty soon I'll refer to those few verses that we also read this morning from Revelation chapter 1, where John saw and recorded this vision of the glorious Christ. And if you read this entire chapter, you will know that He was walking there among the lampstands and was dressed in the brilliant garments of royalty. He was the King of the church, holding the seven stars, the angels of the churches, and walking among the lampstands. And so the lampstand also points us to Christ as the Lord of creation, and that points us to Him also as the one who gives life, the source of life. Because remember, on that shaft, on the six branches of the gold lampstand, what was on them? Well, there were these cups formed in the shape of almond blossoms and buds. And why did those cups, by the way, have that particular shape or design? Was that just to make the lampstand look pretty? And no, I think God has a design in all that He does. And He chose that design, I'm sure, purposely. Because you see, the almond tree was known in the Near East as the wakeful tree. That is, it is the tree that awakens first in the springtime. It was the first to blossom with the flowers. It was the harbinger of a new life and of new fruitfulness. Those almond flowers, like our lilies, spoke of new hope and new life given by God. They spoke of resurrection. And so indeed our Savior, who is the light of the world and the Lord of creation, is the resurrected one. The one who said in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I died, but behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Like the almond blossom, Christ is the harbinger of new life for all those who believe in Him, so they too can rise like Him and live forever with Him. How beautifully that gold lampstand then points ahead to Christ, the light of the world, the Lord of glory, the resurrection, and the life. However, as I said a little earlier, this lampstand also points us to someone else. It has a threefold symbolism. First, it points to the Son of God. Secondly, it points us to the Spirit of God. That is, the Holy Spirit. And you ask me, well, how is the Holy Spirit pictured here in this gold lampstand? Well, actually, I could say in two ways. Because first, the Holy Spirit is also a light. The Holy Spirit also has to illumine us. We many hymns that speak of Him in that way. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine within this heart of mine, chase the shades of night away, turn my darkness into day. The Holy Spirit is the one who has to open our hearts and minds so that we can understand and believe the gospel. But there's more. I said in the introduction that the lampstand has also been called the candlestick. It's the way the King James Version translates the references to it in Exodus 25 and 27. It calls it the candlestick, suggesting the idea that it was a sort of candelabra on which there were wax candles that were placed and lit, kind of like you see at weddings. But that's not really what the object in the holy place looked like or was. There were no candles on this lampstand. The Jews did not have candles, as we know them. Rather, what they used to light the lamps on the lampstand was oil. That is, olive oil. We read in Exodus 27, verse 20, that God told Moses, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may be readily set forth or set up to burn." And thus it was that oil that provided the substance for burning. A wick was placed in it, and with the oil providing the energy, the fuel. But what does oil commonly symbolize in the Bible? It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's why it was typically used for anointing persons to various offices. The priests and the prophets and the kings were anointed with oil. What did that mean? It meant that they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, whose presence and whose power would descend on them and equip them for their tasks. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit at the time of his baptism, when the Spirit descended on him like a dove. It was the Holy Spirit, you see, who empowered our Savior for his earthly ministry, for his work of redemption. As Jesus told the people of Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Christ is the light. The Spirit is the oil that enables that light to shine in all its power. In fact, the Savior, of course, and the Holy Spirit are one. And so how beautifully that too was pictured here in the gold lampstand. Its seven lamps were all fed by oil. The lamps gave the light. The oil produced the flame. Christ is the illuminator, but so is the Holy Spirit, whose power energizes his work. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit is the one who has inspired the Holy Scriptures so that we can know the light of God's truth. By the light of that word, inspired by the Spirit, sinners are led to Christ and able to grow in their faith and their life. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot know the truth and come to salvation. So he too is foreshadowed in this gold lampstand, the Holy Spirit of God. And it leads me to know finally and thoroughly yet this morning, congregation, what else is conveyed by the gold lampstand. It also points us to God's people. It also points to the saints of God, to those who have received the light of Christ's salvation, whose minds and hearts have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, so that they know God and are now God's holy people, called to be saints, as God's word says. Now you might ask, well, how does the lampstand point to us to be saints, to be believers in the church? Well, first of all, keep in mind where that gold lampstand was located. It stood in the holy place of the tabernacle. And where is God's holy place today? We no longer have a tabernacle, obviously, or a temple today. But the New Testament says that in a special way, we are God's temple. We are the house in which Christ lives by his Holy Spirit. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, we are a holy temple in the Lord, resting on the cornerstone who is Christ, and being built together as a dwelling place for God the Spirit. We are God's holy place in whom the Spirit lives. But that also means then that we are then also to be light. God's light then must dwell in us. That light which has shone on us in Christ must also then live in us so that we can be reflectors of that light. You know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? It's a familiar text. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And then interestingly, Jesus went on to compare us to lamps. As he said in Matthew 5 verse 15, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." And then applying that truth, Jesus continued, "In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So by our words and our deeds, we are called to be lights in the lampstand of God. by our words and deeds and life, we must all show and shine forth the truth of the gospel so that others may see and give glory to our Father in heaven. That makes me think of what John again saw then in that vision recorded in Revelation chapter 1. Just a moment ago we noted that John had a vision there of Christ himself arrayed in his divine majesty. And it says his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. But what was Christ doing in that vision? What was he doing? He was walking among the gold lampstands. And how many lampstands were there? Seven. Seven. That's interesting. Because that's exactly how many branches were on the gold lampstand in the tabernacle. Including the central shaft, there were seven. And how many lamps were there on that gold lampstand? Also seven, one on each branch. And now John, in the New Testament, sees Christ walking among seven gold lampstands. Why that number seven? Well, I think many of you know it's the number of perfection. It's the number of fullness, completeness. When applied to Christ, seven represents that our Savior is our Savior in all perfection. When applied to the Holy Spirit, it indicates that He is the Spirit in all His fullness, the sevenfold Spirit. And when applied to the church, it refers to the saints in all their holiness as Christ's redeemed body, sanctified by His Spirit to be God's holy people in this world. And therefore in Revelation 1, the church, the saints, are referred to as lampstands. Revelation 1 verse 20 says, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And John doesn't only mean there the seven churches that he then proceeds to talk about, or which Christ addresses in Revelation 2 and 3, but also refers, I'm convinced, to all of God's church, all God's people, everywhere, wherever He has placed His church on earth. And the power by which we are called to shine or to represent Christ is the oil of the Holy Spirit, who is the energizer, the spiritual energizer within us. You boys and girls know the song. I'm not sure if they still sing it today. It's an old song, a little children's song, which goes, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Well, people of God, the oil we need in our lamps, the lamps of our lives, is the power and the illumination of God's Holy Spirit working in our hearts. That we then may live lives that truly shine, that show to others the truth of the gospel, that point others to Christ, the light of the world, that manifest the power of God's Spirit to change hearts and lives. May our lives be lamps and lights in that sense, and always burning. Always burning. Yes, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5 verse 8, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If we fail to do that, you know what? Christ will remove our lampstand from its place. For Christ has no use for burned out lights. But may your and my light and this church's light, like that gold lampstand in the tabernacle, which is there burning at all times, so that Christ and His truth may it always shine, always be burning in our love, in our life, and our testimony to the world that Christ indeed is the light of the world, to the praise of our Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful this morning that once again we could be pointed through your holy word, which is the light, which is a light indeed, a rich light, an inspired light, given us by the Spirit of light, pointing us to the Savior Himself, the light of the world. Oh Lord, we thank you for that truth that we've been able to reflect on again this morning, what it means to once again rejoice in Him who has come to eradicate, to overcome the darkness of the world, the darkness in every sinner's heart, so that we might indeed receive light, the light of life, the light of Your salvation in us. Now, You've given us the Holy Spirit to renew us, to regenerate us, that we might indeed be children of light. And Lord God, we would pray then that You will help us then in our lives to show forth that light of Your truth and of Christ and of the Spirit. Oh, may our light shine before men that they may see our good deeds and words and glorify our Father in heaven. So receive our thanks again for this truth to encourage us, to direct us, to guide us to Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.